The Book of Daniel, number 134. The Prophetic Unfolding, from September 11, 2001, to the impending Sunday Law in the United States. Key takeaways. The period from September 11, 2001 until the anticipated implementation of a Sunday Law in the United States marks a significant prophetic era where the culmination of divine visions is realized. Drawing from biblical parallels and historical events, this period reflects a sequence of divine intervention and human response, echoing the profound prophecies of the Bible's last days. This article delves into the intricate tapestry of prophecy, tracing its threads from ancient scriptures to modern-day occurrences, ultimately revealing the unfolding fulfillment of God's word amidst contemporary global events. Historical parallels and biblical foundations. The arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844, mirrors biblical events such as the rebellion of ancient Israel at Kadesh, symbolizing a recurring pattern in prophetic timelines. The period from 1840 to 1844 among the Millerites reflects significant biblical epochs, resonating with Christ's baptism to the stoning of Stephen, underscoring the timeless relevance of prophetic visions. Ancient prophets, speaking less for their time and more for future generations, foretold events pertinent to the last days, encapsulating the essence of divine foresight in Scripture. The sealing of the 144,000, from September 11, 2001, to the impending Sunday Law, the sealing time of the 144,000 signifies the convergence of biblical prophecies and contemporary realities. The Book of Revelation complements Daniel's unsealed prophecies, culminating in the perfection of divine vision over the course of history. Symbolic representations, such as the Hiddekel and Ulai rivers in Daniel's visions, elucidate the internal and external dimensions of divine intervention amidst human affairs. Divine voices and turning points. Three divine voices, symbolized by September 11, 2001, 2023, and the forthcoming Sunday Law, mark pivotal turning points in prophetic history, echoing the significance of biblical crises. Nebuchadnezzar's secret image dream in Daniel 2 foreshadows the secret formation of the image of the beast in the last days, serving as a critical test for God's people. The latter rain message, initiated by the descent of the angel in Revelation 18, unveils hidden truths, including the prophetic significance of Nebuchadnezzar's image and the formation of the image of the beast. Interpretation of contemporary events. Modern-day events, such as the Patriot Act of 2001 and subsequent legislative actions, symbolize prophetic milestones leading to the impending fulfillment of divine prophecies. Waymarks in recent history, including the events of July 18, 2020, November 3, 2020, and January 6, 2021, align with biblical timelines, underscoring the relevance of prophetic interpretation in understanding contemporary developments. The overarching theme of divine guidance amidst human tumult emphasizes the continuity of God's providence throughout history, reaffirming the relevance of biblical prophecy in contemporary times. Conclusion: the intricate interplay of biblical prophecy and contemporary events underscores the ongoing fulfillment of divine visions, culminating in the imminent realization of eschatological prophecies. As history unfolds, the prophetic tapestry continues to unravel, guiding humanity towards the fulfillment of God's eternal purposes as foretold in Scripture. The sealing time of the 144,000 from September 11, 2001, unto the soon coming Sunday Law in the United States is the prophetic period where every vision of God's Word is fulfilled in the last days. Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. Ezekiel 12:23. In that line, the third angel arrives again, and in so doing, it is represented by the arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844, unto the rebellion of 1863. The rebellion of 1863 was represented by the first rebellion of ancient Israel at Kadesh, and therefore is represented by the whole history from the Red Sea crossing until the first Kadesh rebellion. The first Kadesh rebellion typified the second Kadesh rebellion, and thus the line from the death of Aaron to the second Kadesh rebellion is repeated in the line of the sealing. It is repeated in the history of the Millerites from 1840 unto 1844, which was typified by Christ's baptism unto the cross, which also represented the history of the cross to the stoning of Stephen. Line upon line, each of the ancient prophets spoke about this period of time more than the days in which they lived. Each of the ancient prophets spoke less for their own time than for ours, so that their prophesying is in force for us. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 1 Peter 1:12. The Bible has accumulated and bound up together its treasures for this last generation. All the great events and solemn transactions of Old Testament history have been, and are, repeating themselves in the church in these last days. Selected Messages, Book 3, 338-339. The last generation is Peter's chosen generation, which is the 144,000, and they are chosen from September 11, 2001, unto the soon-coming Sunday law, where they are then lifted up as an ensign. All, not some, but all the great events and solemn transactions of God's Word are repeating themselves in the last generation of the Church of the last days. In the line of the ceiling, all the books of the Bible meet and end. In the revelation, all the books of the Bible meet and end. Here is the complement of the book of Daniel. One is a prophecy, the other a revelation. The book that was sealed is not the revelation, but that portion of the prophecy of Daniel relating to the last days. The angel commanded, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." Daniel 12, verse 4. Acts of the Apostles 5:85. The portion of the prophecy of Daniel relating to the last days that was unsealed is the visions given to Daniel by the two great rivers of Shinar, the Ulai and the Hiddekel. Those visions represent Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, and chapter 11, verses 40 through 45. The sealing time of the 144,000 is the history where Christ, as the heavenly high priest, eternally seals the chosen of the final generation into a relationship consisting of divine and human. Verse 40 of Daniel 11 identifies the relationship of the dragon, the beast, and false prophet who together are now leading the world to Armageddon, as represented by the history of the horn of republicanism on the earth, beast that rules as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy during the history of verse 40. Verse 40 also identifies the separation of the wise and foolish that defines the history of the horn of Protestantism in the same history, beginning in 1798 unto the soon coming Sunday law. All the books of the Bible meet and end in the book of Revelation, and when they meet, the book of Revelation complements the book of Daniel, and the word complement means to bring to perfection. In the sealing time of the 144,000, as represented in the book of Revelation, the prophecies of Daniel that were unsealed in the last days are brought to perfection when they are brought together line upon line over the line of history represented in chapter 18 of Revelation that begins with the voice in verses 1 through 3 and ends with the second voice of verse 4. The perfection of the prophetic vision represented by the Hiddekel River in the book of Daniel represents the perfection of the external vision of the enemies of God's people who trample down the sanctuary and host. The perfection of the prophetic vision represented by the Ulai River in the book of Daniel represents the perfection of the internal vision of Christ appearing within his people when he accomplishes the covenant promise of joining divinity with humanity upon the final chosen generation. The history of the sealing that focuses upon the republican horn of the earth beast begins with the earth beast speaking the Patriot Act in 2001 and ends with the speaking that was represented by the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798, which in Revelation chapter 13 are represented as the earth beast speaking as a dragon. The Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 represent the end of a line that began with the speaking of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. In the middle of that period of prophetic history, The Earth Beast spoke the Constitution into effect in 1789. The speaking of 1776 aligns with the speaking of the Patriot Act, and the Alien and Sedition Acts represent the soon-coming Sunday law in the United States. In the middle of that history, there should be another speaking which aligns with 1789. The first voice of Revelation 18, verses 1 through 3, is plainly identified as arriving when the great buildings of New York City were thrown down. The second voice of verse 4 is also plainly identified as the soon-coming Sunday law. Both of those voices are divine voices, for they are both the voice of the angel who is to lighten the earth with his glory, who Sister White identifies as the first angel of Revelation 14. Jesus was the first angel, and he always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning. So he is also the third angel, who is the angel that lightens the earth with his glory. The first angel is also portrayed in Revelation chapter 10 as descending on August 11, 1840, thus typifying the descent of the angel on September 11, 2001. Sister White directly states that the angel who descended in chapter 10 was no less a personage than Jesus Christ. The first and second voices of Revelation 18 are the voice of Christ. That history is typified by 1776, 789, and 1798, when the Earth Beast spoke three times. The voice of Christ that speaks in between the two voices of Revelation 18 is when he speaks in Revelation chapter 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Revelation 11:11-12. In July of 2023, a voice from heaven, the voice of Christ, began raising up the two witnesses who had been slain in the streets by the atheistic dragon from the bottomless pit. At that point, the issues associated with the Constitution of the United States became a prophetic subject, for at the next voice, represented by 1798, the Constitution will be fully overthrown. Each of the three waymarks of 1776, 1789, and 1798 align with the three divine voices that are marked as September 11, 2001, July 2023, and the soon-coming Sunday law. Those three steps align with three steps of the third woe, represented by September 11, 2001, October 7, 2023, and the soon-coming Sunday law, when the seventh trumpet, which is the third woe, suddenly arrives in the hour of the great earthquake. In 2023, the transition of both horns of the Earth Beast began, as represented by the secret image dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2 was a secret that only God could reveal, and he revealed it to those who had passed the first test represented in chapter 1 of Daniel. Daniel and the three worthies in chapter 1 who passed the first test were those who chose to eat the heavenly food and reject the diet of Babylon. They are those represented by John in Revelation chapter 10, who take the little book out of the angel's hand, who is no less a personage than Jesus Christ, and eat the message contained therein. They are those in John chapter 6, who chose to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the heavenly manna that the other class rejected, and who then turned away from Christ and walked no more with him forever, in chapter 6, verse 66. In that line, Christ was teaching in Galilee, which means a hinge or a turning point. There he presented the message of the heavenly manna that his disciples were to eat, just as John had eaten in Revelation chapter 10, and as Ezekiel had eaten in chapter 3, and Jeremiah had eaten in chapter 15. The history represented by John in Revelation chapter 10, when he ate the little book, represented the history of the Millerites from 1840 to 1844. But it more directly represented the period of the sealing of the 144,000 than the history of the Millerites. This is apparent in the chapter by the directions John was given when told to eat the little book. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Revelation 10, verse 9. In the verse, John was told in advance of his taking and eating the little book what experience would be produced by the message he ate. The Millerites did not understand the bittersweet experiences in advance of their historical fulfillment of John's symbolism of their line of prophetic history. But the 144,000 have been told in advance and are required to know. When John illustrates either the history of the movement of the first angel or the history of the third angel, the message produces two classes of worshipers and then ends with the bitter disappointment. When Jeremiah ate the little book, he then refused to associate with the assembly of the mockers. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Jeremiah 15:17. When Ezekiel ate the little book, he was told to give the message to the rebels of the house of Israel, who would not listen. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Ezekiel 3:17. When Christ offered the heavenly bread, that was his flesh and his blood, to his home church at Galilee, the class that turned away never walked with him again. And the fact that this occurred in chapter 6, verse 66, identifies that the eating is the first of a three-step testing process, which begins with the descent of the angel. The second test is where the two classes are manifested, whether it be the contrast of Ezekiel with the hard-hearted house of Israel, or the wise and foolish virgins of both the beginning and ending of Adventism, or Jeremiah with the assembly of mockers, or by Daniel and the three worthies in contrast with the wise men of Babylon in chapter 2 of Daniel. In the line of John chapter 6, the arrival at Galilee is September 11, 2001. The message to eat the flesh and drink the blood is the history that ultimately leads to the soon coming Sunday law. You are what you eat, as represented by Daniel and the three worthies in chapter 1, and in John 6, those who chose to eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood became the image of what they ate. They became the image of Christ, while the other class that turned and walked no more with Christ manifested the image of the beast. One class was the image of the Creator, the other the image of the creation. John chapter 6 adds the meaning of Galilee to September 11, 2001, for the meaning is hinge, thus marking the turning point for the disciples. Would they turn to the heavenly diet or the diet of Babylon? It is at prophetic turning points that Christ manifests the light for the following period, as represented by his descent in 2001 when the earth was lightened with his glory. There are lessons to be learned from the history of the past, and attention is called to these, that all may understand that God works on the same lines now that he ever has done. His hand is seen in his work and among the nations now, just the same as it has been ever since the gospel was first proclaimed to Adam in Eden. There are periods which are turning points in the history of nations and of the church. In the providence of God, when these different crises arrive, the light for that time is given. If it is received, there is spiritual progress. If it is rejected, spiritual declension and shipwreck follow. The Lord in his word has opened up the aggressive work of the gospel as it has been carried on in the past and will be in the future, even to the closing conflict when satanic agencies will make their last wonderful movement. Bible Echo, August 26, 1895. God always works upon the same lines of past history, and he never changes. There are turning points, Galilee, that are crises, and at those turning points the light for that time is given. The light for the period of the sealing of the 144,000 was given at the crisis that began on September 11, 2001. If that light is received, there is spiritual progress. If it is rejected, spiritual declension and shipwreck follow. The light produces two classes of worshipers. The light that follows the turning point represents the message which produces two classes of worshipers. Daniel chapter 2 illustrates the second test, the test which follows the dietary test of chapter 1. In verse 1 of chapter 1 of Daniel, Judah had just been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, who then became the first kingdom of Bible prophecy. It was a turning point in both the history of nations and of the church. It was a great crisis, and the light of a dietary test was then given. Daniel and the three worthies passed the test. And then in chapter 2, they again represented those who passed the second test. The second test was a test over a secret that no man, not even Nebuchadnezzar, knew. The symbol of the test was the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It was a life and death test over an image that no one knew. The image identified the kingdoms of Bible prophecy, and in chapters 7 and 8 of Daniel, the same kingdoms of Daniel 2 are represented as beasts. Nebuchadnezzar's test was the test of the image of the beasts that in the last days occurs during the period of the sealing of the 144,000. In the last days, the formation of the image of the beast is the great test for the people of God, represented by Daniel and the three worthies. It is the test they must pass before they are sealed. So it is the sealing testing message that either produces a class that receives the seal of God and reflects the image of God, or a class that receives the seal of the beast and therefore reflects the image of the beast. In Daniel chapter 2, the message of the image of the beast was sealed until the history when it became a life and death question. Nebuchadnezzar's image was understood correctly by the Millerites, but in the history of the sealing, a secret truth that is connected with Nebuchadnezzar's image is unsealed, but only to those who have taken the message that was to be eaten when the turning point arrived. That food is the latter rain message that began when the angel of Revelation 18 descended, and the latter rain message is the methodology of line upon line. Without eating that truth, the secret message of the formation of the image of the beast cannot be seen. Ellen White was clearly shown that the image of the beast would be formed before probation closes. The message of the formation of the image of the beast in Daniel 2 represents a formation of the image that would only been seen in the history that followed the turning point, when the light would then be given. What is now understood about Nebuchadnezzar's image is that it did not simply identify the first four kingdoms of Bible prophecy. It identified all eight kingdoms, and that understanding produces a new formation of the image beast. That truth identifies that the eighth beast is of the seven, and it further identifies that the United States, who first forms an image of the beast and thereafter forces the entire world to do the same, will possess the prophetic characteristic of the beast, which it forms an image of. That image includes that it is the eighth, that is of the seven, and in the history of the three voices of Christ, it is marking the turning point of September 11th, 2001, the voice of 2023 calling the dead, dry bones of the two witnesses to their feet, and the voice of the call out of Babylon. The voice of 2023 is the voice that identifies the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's image and when it speaks. September 11th, 2001 represents the period that begins there and ends on July 18th, 2020. The period of the second voice from chapter 11 represents the period from July 18th, 2020 unto the third voice at the soon coming Sunday law. The second period that begins on July 18th, 2020 includes the waymark of November 3rd, 2020 and the waymark of January 6th, 2021. When those that had slain the two witnesses and began to rejoice and send gifts, and it includes July 2023, when the voice in the wilderness began to sound the warning of the seventh trumpet. We will continue this study in the next article. Upon the banks of the river Shebar, Ezekiel beheld a whirlwind seeming to come from the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. A number of wheels, intersecting one another, were moved by four living beings. High above all these was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. Ezekiel 1:4-26, 10:8. The wheels were so complicated in arrangement that at first sight they appeared to be in confusion, but they moved in perfect harmony. Heavenly beings, sustained and guided by the hand beneath the wings of the cherubim, were impelling these wheels. Above them, upon the sapphire throne, was the Eternal One, and round about the throne a rainbow, the emblem of divine mercy. As the wheel-like complications were under the guidance of the hand beneath the wings of the cherubim, So the complicated play of human events is under divine control. Amidst the strife and tumult of nations, he that sitteth above the cherubim still guides the affairs of the earth. The history of nations that one after another have occupied their allotted time and place, unconsciously witnessing to the truth of which they themselves knew not the meaning, speaks to us. To every nation and to every individual of today, God has assigned a place in his great plan. Today, men and nations are being measured by the plummet in the hand of him who makes no mistake. All are by their own choice deciding their destiny, and God is overruling all for the accomplishment of his purposes. The history which the great I Am has marked out in his word, uniting link after link in the prophetic chain, from eternity in the past to eternity in the future, tells us where we are today in the procession of the ages, and what may be expected in the time to come. All that prophecy has foretold is coming to pass, until the present time has been traced on the pages of history, and we may be assured that all which is yet to come will be fulfilled in its order. Education 177-178.